today I'd like to talk about something that is commonly called the Romans Road. And many, many, many people call it the Romans Road to Salvation. How do you find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I think there are four things you have to understand. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles close by, turn to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 10. The Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Bible's very clear on this. There is not one person on the face of this earth that is perfect. We are all sinners. And the idea is we have all missed the mark. No, we're not all murderers. We're not all adulterers. We're not all thieves. But we are all sinners. Some people are clear off the chart. Other people have lived very good moral lives, but still have missed the mark. There is none righteous, no, not one. The only person that ever lived a 100% righteous life was Jesus Christ. All others have fallen short of the glory of God. Then in verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned." Not just people that we consider bad people, not just those that are in prison, not just those who have committed some horrible crime, but all people have sinned. All people have missed the mark. Have you ever seen a bullseye? Maybe you've gone to a shooting range or a place where you use a bow and arrow, and there'll be these big circular targets. Perfect is if you hit dead center perfect. If you hit the mark, it is perfect. But the Bible says we have all sinned, meaning we have all missed the mark and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you understand these first two verses, there's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The obvious is we have sinned against God, we're guilty, and therefore we need a Savior. In Romans chapter 6, we come to the second part. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Most of you listening have a job or you have had a job. You go to work and you earn a wage. The Bible says the wage that we earn as a result of our sin is death. Now, there are two deaths in the Bible. The first death is a physical death. When our bodies die, our soul separates from our body. And that's what death is in the Bible. Death in the Bible is always separation. So the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the death in this verse, Romans 6:23, is really the second death of the Bible. The first death is a physical death. Your soul separates from your body. The second death is if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your soul separates from God. And your soul is placed in eternal hell, a place, a real place, a place of fire and brimstone, a place of suffering, a place of torment. The Bible says the smoke from hell will rise up forever and ever. The second death is when your soul is separated from God forever. And that's the death that this verse is talking about. The wages, what we have earned of our sin, the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'll remember, in the first part of this program, I talked about salvation being a free gift, a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I've given you 2 points. The first point is we have all sinned against God. We've all missed the mark. The second point is the wages of our sin is an eternal hell. Now, that's the bad news. Let me give you the good news. The good news is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The word commendeth means that God demonstrated. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible teaches almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sin. Our sin was laid on him. God demonstrated that he loved us by suffering and dying for us. The Bible says that when Christ was on the cross, he literally bled. He shed his blood. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ had to suffer and bleed to pay the penalty for our sin. And I believe in a six-hour time span, when Christ was nailed to the cross, he literally had eternal hell condensed into that time, and he suffered and died and paid for our sin with his precious blood. That's good news, friend. Christ took my place and your place at Calvary. You and I deserve to be on the cross, but Christ took our place. He became our substitute. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose that you have a grocery debt at the grocery store where you do your business. And let's suppose that you owe $100. $100 grocery debt. Let's suppose that I go into that grocery store. I say, Mr. Manager, does this person have a grocery debt? And the manager says, yes, he does. He has a $100 grocery debt. And I say to the manager, I would like to pay that debt. And out of my pocket, I pull out five crisp $20 bills, and I give them to the manager, and I say, there, is this man's grocery debt paid in full? And he said, yes, sir, it is. And then the next day, you come in to the grocery store, and you say, Mr. Manager, I came in today to pay my grocery debt. And he said, sir, your grocery debt has been paid. A man came in here yesterday and asked how much your debt was, and he paid it in full. He gave me five $20 bills. He paid your $100 grocery debt in full. You don't owe anything. My dear friend, when Jesus Christ went to Calvary and bled and suffered and died for your sin and my sin, he paid your sin debt. It was paid in full. His suffering, his bleeding, his substitution took your place. His dying on the cross took your place. You and I deserve to be there. You and I deserve the penalty, but he took our place. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. When you put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done, you are forgiven. He guarantees you eternal life in heaven. Here's where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us before you and I were ever born. He paid the penalty of our sin. I said earlier, when John was baptizing in the Jordan River, he saw Jesus coming down from the hillside, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ became our propitiation for sin, our satisfaction. He satisfied an angry God. My friend, that is good news. Christ, through his suffering, his bleeding, and his death, has satisfied an angry God. And if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, you'll have peace with God. So we have done 3 points now. Number one, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, there is a penalty for the wages of our sin, and that's an eternal separation from God, eternal hell. And number three, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that penalty that is demanded by a holy, righteous God. And now number four, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus Christ said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Here's the invitation, my friend. Jesus Christ said, I'm standing and I'm knocking at your heart's door. I won't force my way in. God will never force his way into your life, but I'm standing and knocking at the door of your heart, and I'm asking to come in. My friend, if you'll open the door of your heart, open the door of your life and say, I'd like to have Jesus Christ come into my life, God says that he'll do that, that your sin is forgiven. He's already paid the penalty for your sin at Calvary, and that you can have eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In Romans 10:13, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you can have eternal life today by placing your faith on Jesus Christ, by crying out to God and saying, oh God, I have sinned against you. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. And by faith, placing your hope, your trust in what Jesus Christ has done, his death, burial, and resurrection, when you put your faith in what Christ has done, you will have eternal life in heaven. I would like to take you to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 13. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." My dear friend, today I would like to say to you that you can have absolute certainty that you will spend eternal life in heaven. Over the years in the ministry, I have had many, many people say to me, "I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I'm trying to go to heaven. I'm doing the best I can." But I am saying to you today that the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life in heaven. It's not 75% sure. It's not 90% sure. You can be 100% certain that you are going to spend an eternity in heaven. Well, how do you do that? Well, I think it comes in two things. Number one, you have to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 17, verse 30, the Bible says that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must repent of your sin. Place your faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. He died for you. He was buried and he rose again. And number two, you must begin to read the Bible and to grow in Christ. And as you do that, you'll grow closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would just like to say to you that you can have 100% certainty that you'll have eternal life in heaven. Let me read it again. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." John here is saying, I'm writing it to you folks who have trusted Christ as Savior, that you may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 33 years ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I knew my life had changed, my purpose for living, my goals in life, the peace that I had never had before. Suddenly, immediately, I had those things the night that I trusted Christ as my Savior. But months later, I was up and down, and I began to doubt, was I really saved? Am I really going to heaven? And I began a 1-2-3-year struggle where I really questioned, am I really saved? Am I going to go to heaven? And I would get down on my knees, and I would pray to God and pray and say, God, search my heart. If I've never been saved before, I want to ask you to come into my life, be my personal Savior. I probably prayed that prayer 300 or 400 times. God, I'm not certain. If I've never been saved before, I want you to come into my life and save me right now. And my dear friend, as I began to read the Bible and cry out to God and call upon him, he began to give me assurance of my salvation. And I'm just saying to you today, you can have that assurance in Jesus Christ. Would you call upon him? And would you determine to get in the Word of God and begin to read it on a daily basis? Read the Gospel of John. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And God will begin to give you assurance of your salvation if you have been born again. Not if you've joined the church, not if you've been baptized, but if you have truly been born again, you will begin to have that assurance of your salvation. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life in heaven.